Our scripture reading today is from Luke 2. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." What is your primary need this Christmas season? In some of the conversations that I've engaged in, some of us are in need of wisdom and knowledge so that I can get ready for the new year and the new plans and the new challenges that I might face. So for some of us, we feel that our primary need is inspiration. I feel like I'm exhausted. This has been a long year. Some of us just need rest and we feel I don't have enough energy or zest for anything. Don't even ask me what we're eating tonight type of thing. We think that these might be our primary needs. But your primary need, according to the Bible, is to have peace between you and God. And the problem is that many of us don't think that this is the primary need of our hearts. We don't realize that This is the center of so many dimensions of our life. We aren't always aware that this is our greatest need. So this Christmas time is a great invitation, a great time to become aware and to share and to receive this peace with God. And in today's scripture, that message from the angel at the first Christmas saying, peace on earth. Peace has now come through the coming of Jesus Christ. A child has been born. The Prince of Peace is here. Maybe what might this peace be? Now, if you consult with Google, you will see that it translates peace or gives the definition as being free of disturbance or tranquility. So according to Google, this means that peace would mean that your external circumstances are all favorable. There's nothing that disrupts you, nothing that bothers you, nothing that upsets you, nothing that challenges you, nothing that is hostile towards you. Your world is in perfect harmony. And then there's this word tranquility, which refers to maybe some emotions that you experience of calmness, of everything coming together. That's Google's definition of peace. But if we work with this definition and we look at the life of Jesus, then we can say that he didn't have much of that peace. For a moment, just think about his external circumstances with me. Just politically, the country was taken over by the Romans. And people are looking for political peace, favorable conditions in their country. This is exactly what the disciples' expectation was of Jesus, that he was going to get rid of the Roman rule, that he will bring a new kingdom. But that's not the peace that he brought. If you look economically, he didn't have a house. We read that Jesus often didn't even have a place to sleep, to lay his head. In his profession, not favorable circumstances at all. The rabbis of his time rejected him. On the contrary, at the end of his life, they all turned against him. And the Pharisees and scribes saw him as a rebel. Not as someone who fits within the system. And so he actually experienced a lot of stress in his profession, in his family life. We assume his dad passed away when his ministry began. And his brothers didn't believe in him. We read that James and Judas only began to believe in him after his resurrection. His mother was the only one that stood by him, even his disciples. It didn't always go well. His treasurer, that Judas, he caused big problems. He was responsible for Jesus being betrayed. And in the end, all his disciples left him. Not favorable circumstances at all. And then his inner world. Jesus was known as the man of sorrows. He experienced a lot of pain and turmoil. We see at one point he gets angry. At another stage, he cries. We read at the end of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane that he is deeply troubled and he asks his disciples, his friends, please pray with me. So according to the Google definition of peace, this world's definition of peace, he didn't have inner peace at all. He was deeply disturbed in his interior with the emotions and the things that he faced and saw. And so what does this peace mean? Well, Jesus clearly says that he comes to give us a different kind of peace. He says, my peace I'll give you. He says directly in Luke 12 that I didn't come to give the peace, the kind of peace that you seek, where you think that there will only be complete harmony and favorable conditions and you will feel calm and good and lekker inside. That's not the kind of peace he brings. Jesus says, peace I give you, I leave you with my peace, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. My peace. So what is Jesus saying then? Well, I think he's saying, I can experience the peace he gives despite the circumstances that I am in, that I'm facing. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have tribulation. Circumstances are going to be against you, but in the midst of whatever is going on, you can have peace. This is a different peace, a different harmony that you can have while everything around you is falling apart. This peace is something that you can have in spite of mourning, in spite of sadness. It's something that happens in your heart. It's something that comes to you, is birthed in you, grows in your heart. God gives it to you. So despite your circumstances, despite the emotions you are experiencing of stress or loss, you can have deep inner peace. And that is good news today. And maybe just two invitations around this peace during this Christmas season. Firstly, receive his peace. Jesus came to make this peace possible for us. He himself is our peace. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, Ephesians 2. This peace of God is described within the Hebrew word shalom, which means wholeness, which means prosperity, a positive hope. It is a peace that remains, that cannot be taken away from us. And Paul describes it in Philippians 4 and says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, be prayerful. Make your requests before God, known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all circumstances, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Mulholland translates Philippians 4 this way, and he says, let everyone know that your life is being lived in another structure of being. He says there's another structure, another inner functioning into which you can step, one in which the Lord is a vital presence. And despite what is going on with you, despite what is happening in this world around us, despite what it looks like in your life, you can live with God and this life will be characterized by his peace, shalom. It doesn't depend on whether everything goes well. It is an inner certainty that everything in the long run will be all right, whether I'm happy or not, whether I get what I want or not, whether I'm satisfied with my circumstances or not, all will be well. That is the peace that God wants to give us. The Prince of Peace has come. Receive this peace. And then live in His peace. We live in His peace by guarding the peace that we've received in our hearts. This means that there's something that we can do to cooperate and work into our life so that this peace prevails. You receive it, and then it's something that you grow into by preserving it, esteeming it, respecting it, nurturing it in your life. I think this is Peter's wish when he says, he prays, may peace increase for you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you come to know Him, the more you come to know the Prince of Peace, the more the peace will grow in your life. The four Gospels only make sense if Jesus is understood as the Prince of Peace. And the more I receive Him, the more I experience Him, the more I realize what I'm experiencing now is the peace of God. I thought that in the absence of conflict that I was at peace, but that was a false peace because there's always been a distance between me and God. There wasn't harmony, but God now, through Christ Jesus, invites me to live in relationship with Him. He says the animosity between us, that is bridged, and I want to continue to receive the grace of His peace and grow in it. It's by experiencing this, it's by living in relationship with God that you begin to recognize the voice of God in your life as His peace, His joy and His peace. And this becomes the guiding principle of your life. This becomes the umpire. And we live in His peace when we begin to live in His kingdom. Jesus proclaims the kingdom and says it's a kingdom of peace. He forms a community of peace, His disciples, His followers, and He sends them on a campaign of peace to announce peace wherever they go. And when we start living by overcoming evil with good and not wanting to repay evil with evil, when we start living from a place where I come to recognize God's voice in my life as a voice of peace, then God becomes a reality. The Amplified Bible says, let the peace of God's soul harmony, which comes from Christ, continually act as umpire in your life, deciding and setting with finality all the questions that arise in your minds. The peace of God. And we live in His peace by sharing the peace we receive. In Luke 10, Jesus says to the disciples, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. Bless this house with peace. If you enter a house, send my peace into that place. Say peace to you. And Jesus Himself did that. Do you remember? He often said to people, my peace I give to you. I give it to you. And I'm learning that in almost every encounter I have with people, I can ask God, I can ask the Lord to send His peace, to send the peace that He's given me into the lives of others. I don't know about you, but every day, especially this time of the year, I meet people who are going through really difficult things. And sometimes I'm also upset and overwhelmed, and I'm learning to trust and to send the peace of Christ into these relationships, to pray His peace into the circumstances. I don't have to say anything. I can do it quietly in the presence of this person. I don't need to become religious and preach to this person. You know, sometimes I go into very difficult meetings. We are in antagonistic conversations with people, and then I just ask, Lord, send your peace. This Christmas time, you're going to visit many homes, people are going to come into your home. Maybe this is an invitation to pray peace to you, to share the peace that you've received. And so this Christmas, an invitation, receive the true peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The Prince of Peace has come. There's something unique about it. No one can give this peace to you, only He can. Receive it by receiving Him, accepting Him. Find out about this hostility that is in you towards Him, towards your life, towards yourself, towards others. He's inviting you to bridge this gap through Christ Jesus. And through Him, He has given you peace that is deep in your heart. Honor it, acknowledge it, affirm it, begin to live by it. Act in faith and begin to do, become a peacemaker. And when I begin to perform acts of peace, it's released into my life and to the life of others. And I can share in the work of Christ coming, Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace, a child is born unto us. May this Christmas season be a time of great peace to you. And we thank you, Lord, for your life, for the gift of your presence and your peace, the gift of relationship with you. And we long for this peace in our lives, in our relationships with one another in this world. We receive it, Lord, but we also want to share it. Make us channels of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us again today. If you have a prayer request, please contact us at pastoral@mosaic.com and one of our members will be in contact with you. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen.